Great, good afternoon. Thanks for sticking around. I know it's a beautiful day outside. Before I begin, I have no relationships to disclose, financial relationships, that is. Okay, so just a quick background about my work in my lab. Our research lab, most of our previous work has been on the study and prevention of work-related musculoskeletal disorders and also fall prevention in residential construction workers. So a lot of our previous work has been on the safety side and the ergonomic side of things. Through our work, though, and spending lots and lots of time out at work sites in various industries, we started to see that workers just were increasingly unhealthy. They smoke a lot, they're overweight, they have a whole variety of health behaviors and chronic health conditions that most likely will kill them, rather than falling off of a roof or getting, electrocuted. Not that those things aren't important, but we started to think about how can we apply our expertise in workplace research to come up with ideas on how to do health promotion in the workplace. So that's kind of where we're coming from. We know that work sites can be effective venues for health promotion. They provide access to populations, sometimes populations that are really difficult to reach anyway, natural structures for support, and existing communication channels. But the problem with most current workplace wellness programs is that they don't really reach the worker groups that are at greatest risk for health complications. And I think something that's already come up in a previous presentation is that a lot of times these wellness programs don't address workplace factors that are contributing to people's health behaviors and health problems. They kind of take the approach of putting the responsibility or the ownership on the worker and don't consider that there's a lot of workplace factors or job factors that contribute to people's poor health behaviors or chronic health conditions. Participatory approaches then kind of attempt to address those shortcomings by giving workers an active voice in program design. And these participatory methods have been successful in ergonomics programs, but their use in workplace health promotion has not been well studied. So the Center for the Promotion of Health in the New England Workplace is one of the four currently funded NIOSH Total Worker Health Centers, and they came up with a healthy worker participatory program, I'll refer to it as the HWPP, which is a toolkit for employers to use to run a participatory program in order to develop workplace safety and health interventions. And the way the model is the employers are supposed to develop two teams, a design team, which is a team of frontline employees, and then a steering committee, which is made up of multiple management levels. And the idea is that the design team, or those frontline employees, will work through this ideas tool. So they will study the problems that they see in their workplace, try to come up with some possible solutions to those problems, present those problems to the steering committee, and then the health team or the design team and the steering committee will work together to implement, and then they'll evaluate the programs that they implemented. So I'm going to talk today about a pilot project that we did using the HWPP to guide a participatory program in a retail setting. And more specifically, we conducted this program in a grocery store, a local grocery store in St. Louis. That grocery store was largely made up of unionized workers, and so the union that represented the majority of workers in the store was the United Food and Commercial Worker Union, UFCW. And so we thought it was really important to get a labor perspective on our steering committee, so we invited members from the UFCW to serve on the steering committee, as well as corporate representatives and store management. And then what we wanted to do, because this is the HWPP is a pretty new program and hasn't really been evaluated much or in context, we wanted to conduct a detailed process evaluation to describe the fidelity of program delivery and the team's ability to implement, to come up with intervention ideas. So I'm really going to just focus on these first five steps of the ideas tool because these are really the five steps where the design team or those frontline workers, where they were really involved. Once you get to step six, that's kind of where they turn over some of their ideas to the steering committee or to management, and then they work together. So we really wanted to describe the feasibility and the process for conducting this program with frontline workers in a retail setting that tends to be a little chaotic. Okay. So for this project, our research team served as both the program facilitator as well as the independent researcher or the program evaluator. And I just like to point that out because it's important to know that the facilitator is a really necessary and crucial part of the HWPP model. So even outside of the research context, this program needs a good facilitator to run it and to make it successful. And that person is responsible for guiding the health team through the program by leading meetings, condensing information, and just generally moving the group forward. The researcher then, you know, that role is really just for the purposes of program evaluation. So my team, I was the program facilitator, but then my research team came to the meetings with me. They observed. We had a whole series of metrics we were collecting. We did some debriefing after each meeting. So all of that went into our process evaluation. So to form our design team, or what we called the health team, we thought that was more intuitive to our workers. Design team didn't really seem to make sense to them. We kind of set a goal that we wanted to get 6 to 8 workers on our team. We felt like that was a good number to not have it too large where you can't get anything done, but enough input from a variety of workers in the store. And we had some criteria that we took from the HWPP. The criteria included that the workers should collectively represent all jobs and demographics. The workers should be committed to improving the workplace, willing to work together, learn new skills, and share opinions, and that they would be available for weekly meetings. We started by just asking workers via survey to indicate if they were interested in serving on a health committee. We gave them a little description about what that might be like, and then asked them to let us know if they were interested. Then we took that list to management, to different levels of management, and asked kind of their opinions on the people that had volunteered. So, you know, again, we couldn't really ask people, are you willing together and learn new skills, because who's going to say no? We wanted to kind of get management's perspective of the people who generally show those traits in their jobs anyway. And from there, we identified our final list of 6 team members. Our initial program agenda included 7 to 9 health team meetings to go through those idea steps 1 through 5. And then that last step 5B is kind of where the steering committee came in. So this was our original program agenda. 2 of those meetings were kind of optional meetings. Since this was the first time that we were rolling this out, we weren't quite sure what to expect, and so we kind of built in some optional meetings. But you'll see those were definitely needed. Okay, so the data collection for this project really served 2 purposes. First, the formative work that we did. This was work that our research team conducted prior to program initiation, and it included worker surveys, focus groups, and a pretty interactive fun mapping activity that we did. And the purpose of this work was really to gather data that we could turn over to the health team so they would understand the health status, health behaviors, and workplace factors of the workers in the workplace in their store. They needed some foundation to work from, and so we kind of did that piece for them and handed that over. That is absolutely necessary to run a program like this. You can't assume that everybody intuitively knows the problems that are there. You have to do some data collection. The rest of this data collection, then, was just for the purposes of evaluating the program. So like I said, my team went out to each of the meetings with me. They collected certain metrics through our field logs and observation notes. We asked the team members to complete participation diaries and meeting reflections at the end of each meeting. And then our team debriefed at the end of each meeting, too. And then also, at the end of that last step with our health team, our frontline workers, we did interviews and surveys with them. So we used all of that data then to complete our process evaluation. And our evaluation included these 5 components. Team recruitment, which was not only the number of team members, but the fidelity to that recruitment criteria that I listed. Program delivery, that included attendance, duration, materials, fidelity to the original agenda, and facilitator support. Engagement, attendance using a slightly different metric, I'll explain that. Participation during meetings and participation outside of meetings. Program output, so the ideas that they generated and their ability to evaluate critically those ideas. And then the team members' program perceptions, how they felt the program went, and more importantly, maybe how they felt management would or would not support the program. So I would say overall the program was a success. I think our entire team felt really good about it when we got to the end of the process. We ran the program for a duration of 10 weeks, during which the team met 9 times for an hour each week. The overall time it took to complete steps 1 through 5A was much longer than we anticipated. So this figure just shows our anticipated time versus the actual time. And we broke it into the different steps of the ideas tool to give you an idea of where that time was necessary. And then also, I'm sorry, it's a little bit small, but the time that the health team spent on each of these steps versus the time the facilitator spent. And I'm not sure this audience cares, maybe, but if you're interested in running a participatory program, I think it's really important to show this so you have some idea of how much time this actually takes. Because I think that's a big criticism of participatory methods is that they're very intensive, and they are. But I think, you know, you kind of have to weigh what you get from the program and see if it's worth your investment. Some of the results of our process evaluation. These are just kind of our basic results of whether they met or did not meet our expectations. I think recruitment overall went well. We recruited the number of team members we wanted, and we pretty much stuck to our criteria. Program delivery, I think, went well also. Our team members were very good in their attendance. The duration was a little longer than expected. The number of meetings didn't really increase, but just the total time it took to get things completed increased. The HWPP materials and other materials that our research team kind of added to the process, I think those were all very helpful to both the facilitator and the team members. Program fidelity, we pretty much stuck to the original goals and agenda. The timeline was just drawn out a little bit. And then I think really what didn't meet our expectations was the amount of facilitator support. I think without having a trained, knowledgeable facilitator that was capable of moving the team forward, I'm not sure that they could have gotten there on their own. But again, that role is central to the HWPP process, so that should kind of be a part of any program like this. As far as engagement goes, I think that was really what worked best in this program. We had a fantastic team who was really excited and enthusiastic throughout the process. Although they were supposed to be scheduled to work on our meeting days, that rarely happened, so they usually went above and beyond by driving to work on their days off. We had a couple people who lived an hour away. They still came to work on their days off to participate. So they were really enthusiastic, and I thought that was really critical to the success of the program. They were very active during the meetings, lots of ideas, lots of respectful idea sharing, so we didn't have any problems with people stepping on each other's toes. Participation outside of meetings, I think they really tried. I think their ability to kind of complete tasks outside of meetings was not quite up to our expectations, and I'll kind of get back to that. As far as outputs, they have lots and lots and lots of great ideas. The only problem they had was kind of reining in those ideas and consolidating and organizing. And then the perceptions, I think they all really enjoyed the program. They liked the idea that their voice was being heard. They thought the process, the HWPP process, was intuitive. They understood it. They weren't quite sure that management would follow through, though. So that remains to be seen. I'll get to that. Okay, so I've kind of already mentioned these, but just to recap. So the things that worked. The fidelity to the recruitment plan, I think, was the main reason we had such high level of engagement with our team. I think the fact that we were very particular in who we chose and our methods for choosing our team, I think really helped us get a really engaged, enthusiastic team. The HWPP materials and the other tools that we kind of brought in, I think were really helpful. I had to, as a facilitator, think of different and creative brainstorming activities, but I think those things were all very helpful to the team, and so any facilitator, I think, needs to kind of think about what else they can add to the HWPP to run things in their own unique settings. Facilitator support and knowledge, that was kind of one thing that really drove the program. and having the support from the store management. Although their role at this point was really small, just having them help us recruit the team members, give us their feedback, and then providing us a space to meet. We had a space at the grocery store, and they tried their very best to keep it private, the door closed for that hour each week. So that was helpful. The things that were challenging, I've already commented on, but really the total program time and facilitator support was much greater than anticipated. The team really had difficulty meeting outside of our scheduled meeting times, and a lot of that has to do with their schedules. Nobody ever worked at the same time. They had, you know, it was a 24-hour store, so their shifts were all over the place. They really had difficulty coming together outside of our scheduled times. And because of that, they tended to do their homework independently and then wouldn't come back together to consolidate the information. And so that was part of what the facilitator had to do then, was to pull all of that information together, sift through it, consolidate it, get a coherent plan going for the next meeting. And that's really where the facilitator time came in. And they also had difficulty turning some of their ideas into defined and measurable activities. So they had a lot of great ideas, but they couldn't put kind of the who, what, when, where, and how to each of those activities to make them defined and measurable. And then finally, I already commented that store management, unfortunately, wasn't really helpful in scheduling people to work on the same day. And again, it's kind of the chaotic nature of their business. So recommendations for anyone who's interested in running a participatory program in the future. Having a knowledgeable facilitator is most important. That does not have to be an outside researcher. That could be maybe someone in HR who has, you know, kind of studied up on the HWPP process or other similar participatory methods, but just kind of who is dedicated to that program. Incorporate homework time into meetings. Maybe this was kind of a mistake on our part, expecting that things would happen between meetings, but it really didn't, and especially in workers who work shift work and they're hourly employees, expecting them to convene either on or off work time was just not realistic. So maybe that depends on your workforce, but I would say try to incorporate all that time into meeting time. And then the last two things are kind of just about the materials. I mentioned that the HWPP materials were very useful to the facilitator and to the team members, but the worksheets themselves were not always intuitive without the facilitator explaining them to people, so maybe you know, trying to add a little more or expand a little more on those materials. So our next steps, we are going to complete this current project. So right now, our team presented their information to the steering committee. Now they're working together to implement some of their activities, and we hope to measure that implementation process and resurvey the workers in 8 to 10 months. Additionally, we have sought out funding from other sources. So as one speaker noted, the NIOSH funding is tight, and we certainly recognize that. And so we've tried to seek additional funding from other sources, from other bigger pots of money to support our work. NIDDK, we have a R21 submitted to deliver this same exact program in 3 more grocery stores and to do a longer-term follow-up to measure intervention effectiveness. And that did get a good score, so hopefully that's funded soon.
What is NIDDK?
I'm sorry. It's the diabetes. It's NIH diabetes. Diabetes and digestive. I don't remember. Diabetes. and then we did get an R01 funded through NIDDK, and that is to conduct a randomized controlled weight loss trial in hospital workers. And that trial has 2 levels. It has an individual level weight loss intervention, but it also has a workplace level intervention where we are again using this HWPP as a model to do a participatory program for the workers to come up with ideas how they can modify their workplace to support their healthy behaviors. So I'd just like to acknowledge our research partners, health team members, steering committee, and our research team, and to acknowledge our funding sources. We had 2 pilot grants from the Healthier Workforce Center for Excellence at the University of Iowa, and our institution's Center for Diabetes Translation Research. Thank you.